That is a track called Roll for Rust by a band called Roll for Rust on an album called Roll for Rust. Yes, it is a trifecta, ladies and gentlemen. You know how I love trifectas. They're my favorite things that bands do. More than a concept record, more than specifically dedicating an album to me, although that hasn't happened yet, so I can't really judge it, but maybe I'll feel differently once it happens. And if any band wants to, you know, do that, I can then judge if a trifecta is better than that or not. I'm thinking it's going to be tough because I really love trifectas. Big Country by Big Country off the album Big Country? So easy to remember. So easy to remember. I'm never going to forget that ever in my entire life. And there are so few bands that do the trifecta. Like they do an album, a self-titled record, right? That makes sense. Got it. Some bands will have the name of their band in a song or something like that. You know, it'll be like an intro track or something like that. Fine, whatever. But rarely does a band have the chutzpah to do a trifecta. But Roll for Rust, Jeremy knows. He's got that chutzpah. I think I'm saying that right. I'm pretty sure I'm saying that right. I'm bad at any of the languages, especially English. Not very good with that one. Nope, nope, nope. So apologies to everyone who's natively an English speaker, as what I'm doing right now is just butchering your beautiful, concise language that I definitely have no concept of and don't know how to speak. Yep, I think I convinced everyone. Very good. Excellent. Anyway, we are in hour two of the show. You got to hear an interview with Jeremy from Roll for Rust, first part of it at least, at the, toward the beginning of the show. Not quite the beginning because, you know, I had to make a blah, 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 blah with my mouth. You know how it is, how annoying I am. But the point is that you got to hear part one of an interview I did with Jeremy from Roll for Rust. We talked a little bit about how, you know, the project came to be, and I got to ask how he got his name for the band, because it's the first interview and I'm allowed to do that. Everyone else, you're not now. You're lazy hacks if you do. That's not true. It's sort of true. Sort of true. So anyway, let's get on with this interview. Part two, we're going to talk about the actual music and kind of the love of physical media. Again, I will say this is at a bubble tea shop that this was done at. And I didn't actually ask Jeremy what he thought about bubble tea. It was the first time he had had it, apparently. I should have asked him that in the email. Well, the point is, I got distracted. I apologize. Anyway, at a bubble tea shop, so there's a lot of background noise you might hear. I believe that you can deal with it. You're very good at listening. A good listener is what you are. And so just be prepared for that. At one point, somebody has a whole coughing fit, and I tried to bring it down as much as possible. But also, that person should probably, like, you know, go to a doctor, because they're either sick with a cold, or they shouldn't be outside, for sure. They shouldn't be spreading it to others. Whatever's going on there, they should get it checked out. Anyway, the point is, here's part two of this interview with Jeremy. Keep it locked. CJLO, 1690 AM, Roll for Rust.
I know that there's a bunch of, for me listening to it, there's a lot of different things that are going on, which is why it's so interesting to me. Like, there's a lot of, like, obviously, like, groove stuff going on, like, new wave American heavy metal stuff, but also, like, there's, like, a nice undercurrent of sludge that I can hear. I don't know if that's, like, an intentional or just, like, the production, like, that's on it. There's, like, thrash parts that I'm hearing. Is that kind of the combination that you wanted to throw together, or is that kind of just like happenstance? That
I think it's just like a natural progression of who I am. So growing up, you know, I grew up on all kinds of metal, but a lot of thrash metal, you know, Metallica, Motorhead, Maiden, and then getting into punk rock. So then touring in bands that were more hardcore punk. And then that sort of ethos of how the band operates, and also kind of the tones you use as well, or like the less is more DIY aspect to it, you know, But then, I don't know, I think just all, I've developed the guitar sound out of years of working on it. But then it just kind of like, it, I think all of those influences or time came to be what it was. But it felt really natural doing it, you know. But I've been using the same kind of stuff for many, many years, you know. So it hasn't really changed, like that sort of overall core tone hasn't changed over the years. Maybe it's gotten refined maybe a little bit. But I think it just comes up from all the years of what I've been listening to or studying or doing, you know.
So. It's also very seamless in how it's going between, which is very nice to kind of get. Because there are some bands that, like, they kind of have to do, like, an abrupt stop in order to go into something. But this, like, is going between these things in, like, such a seamless way that, like, I'll be listening to it. I'm like, this has to be a different song. And then I'll go and be like, oh, no, it's the same one.
Well, I don't know. A lot of my favorite bands over the years, there would be songs like that. And I always liked that. And I always liked the vinyl format.
Yeah.
So, like, in the – like, even though – it's only on digital right now. I still recorded it with the intention, because the vinyl will be out, but with the intention of having it play like that. Because in the old days, when we would listen to it, you would hear many songs like that. And 7-inches we used to make in my old bands, that was kind of part of the ethos of like one of the sides of the records would kind of be like that. And I always kind of liked that, and I wanted to just kind of continue that a little bit. Not live in the past, but just kind of bring some of that cool... my idea of what was a cool flavor of that medium forward, you know.
How do you feel about cassettes?
Oh, I love cassettes.
Okay.
They're super cool. My tape players keep breaking them.
Yes.
No matter how many times they get them fixed or fix them myself or buy new ones, not new ones, but new to me ones, you know, they keep breaking. But I still love them, you know, so.
Every now and then a band will send us just a cassette without any other way to play it. And we're like, you guys, what am I going to do?
Yes.
It's like,
I got to go buy another thing and make it halfway through, you know.
Well, obviously, you have this record out. You said that you're going to be putting it on to, you know, physical copies.
Yeah.
Is there a way that you've kind of thought of to judge, like, the success of the band? I know that's kind of an ephemeral term at this point. But.
I mean, I used to think that way and used to do that when I was younger, right? But then, I don't know. These days, it's not like I don't care, but it's more about... right now, it's more about me just doing the process of continuing music and then making a document of it instead of trying to have a band and mark success the old ways that we used to, right? You go play shows, right? And then maybe you create a following. Then you go on tour. And then you try to sell records along the way. And then when you come back, maybe you record another record. You know, the whole process. And then over all the years of... there's a lot of my friends too who do this, right? And they're still in bands, but you don't see that kind of success, but the miles or the fun or the memories you're making along the way can be as much of, I mean, it's not as much, it doesn't pay the bills, but it, when you were younger, you know, that went further.
Yeah.
But now for me, I just feel like I want to, I feel like I wasted, not wasted. I didn't use time as appropriately.
Underutilized
the time, even though I was always working, but I was always working to be in a band.
Yeah.
Right? Like to have the band go do the things. And then when you're not marking those successes, right, then I have nothing to show for it. No real record, nothing really out in the world for people to listen to. So right now the goal is to make the documents and just put them out there. And then I don't know how people do it now, you know, like how the internet world works or whatever, you know, but you've contacted me, a couple other people have contacted me. So then we'll see how it goes and see what I'm supposed to do to get it out there further. And then if the right amount of people come together, I'll definitely be playing shows or touring if it comes to it. But that's not the main goal right now. The main goal is to whatever music, because I'm creating music daily. And so, like, I want to be able to, and I don't really do it just in, like, one song here, one song there. If you listen to the record, it's kind of a whole record's worth of material put together. And I've got a second record that's about 3/4 of the way demoed right now.
Damn.
So my goal is to just continue to put the records out and then see where that goes, you know, because the artistic process to me at this age is more important than the goals of what a band should do. You know what I mean?
I've asked bands, because I've known a lot of bands that have been kind of, since COVID definitely, that have like kind of piecemealed their records together.
Yeah.
Like they've recorded it at their houses
yeah.
and then put it together. And they've made the comment to me about how like, were it like, you know, 5 years before that, they would not have had the ability to do any of that. As someone who's been doing music for a longer period of time, like how far back do you think that this would go where you're just like, I wouldn't be able to do this record on my own, just technology-wise, like to be able to construct it together?
Well,
my,
yeah,
on my
it,
own
it wasn't... It wasn't really until I moved to Louisville and built a studio in my house to be able to really do it. Because before, like in San Francisco, we had Jack's studio we could record at, but you would pull the money, whatever band fund or whatever whatever you were doing, then you go pay and go to the studio. But in that way, you kind of have to be like a well-oiled machine of a band to make it financially worth your while. You
right.
know what I mean? And then when I was there, I didn't have a studio to build a place. You know, San Francisco is expensive,
yeah.
right? So you can't...
It's
hard to do that. But so like when I knew I was going to move to Louisville, my goal was to get a house and then be able to build what I wanted in the house. So yeah, that definitely... I mean, I guess in other eras, if you had enough money,
yeah.
you could... build a recording
with
studio.
With enough money,
right?
all
you
things are
I mean?
Possible.
But like now, like with technology, and I try to use a hybrid amount of analog and digital, and then when my stuff goes out to California to do the rest of the work, Jack's studio's fully outfitted with all the things that I want to hear in a recording studio. But recording the initial record is very comfortable to do. And I don't do it piecemeal. Like I still record... like I used to record in the analog studio. So it's, you know,
full
it's
one take,
yeah, full one takes for each thing and do it all in a very short period of time, you know? So like, so I can try to keep the vibe or the energy of what I'm doing. So, you know,
well, you're right now you're, I need to make this a bit clear because it's going to sound unclear when I say it, but you're touring with the Deftones right now in that you are working for them while they are on the road, not touring in a band with the Deftones.
Right.
Many bands that, you know, will go on tour with another band, in a band now,
yeah.
will go on tour, and the kind of the best example that we have from Montreal is Priestess.
Yeah.
They went on tour with Mastodon, and
yeah.
basically then the album after that was a Mastodon tribute album.
Oh, really?
Done by Priestess.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, since you're on tour now with Deftones, is that kind of influencing the way you're thinking about writing music, or are you still just kind of like in your mindset with it and going with that?
Well, actually coming to work for them is like a huge learning experience. So I work for them as a set carpenter.
Okay.
So like I build a stage and do that kind of stuff and travel with the crew. And I've only ever toured like in this kind of music that I do in vans and little tours around the world. So it's cool to see how a real band or a real people that are successful, how they do it. So it's been a huge learning experience for me, no matter what I've done in the past. But I don't know. I mean, obviously it may influence me. I was telling you as we were walking over here that like I was never a fan of the band, but my kid's a huge fan. So through this process, he's been sending me playlists and tracks to like listen to. So like, and I have heard these songs over all the years, but it never was kind of obviously of what we've been talking about, listening to bands like Carcass and old Metallica and all this stuff, it's heavier. But watching some of these sets these past few weeks, like, you know, they have heavy stuff too. So there's definitely stuff I can learn from them or experience from it, you know. So it's been pretty cool. But they're definitely pro. It's definitely super cool to see how people operate. And then I'm just a small cog in the wheel of them, how they, you know, produce the show every day. So that it's kind of cool to be doing that too, especially after 30 years of being a carpenter. You know, to use my skills in a different way.
Yeah, and to meld it together more closer to
with
another
music.
Passion.
Yeah. So it's like when I was younger, I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I never wanted to go work for someone else because you want to be the artist, right? But then as you get older, you realize sometimes you don't get to be the artist, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean you can't learn something in the process or have a good experience from it.
Yeah, and bring it to whatever you might be working on. Right? As I said, here at the Bell Center, I've been kind of interested in the idea of kind of like the, you were talking about kind of how things used to be as far as like the underground would know about a band like Maximum R&R or something like that. But I'm wondering if we've gotten to a point now with how the internet operates, how our brains are kind of interacting with the world, if anything can kind of get to a point that can really utilize these huge monumental stadiums we've made for any of these musical artists that are coming through. Now, obviously, like, there's still some holdovers, like, you know, like, especially if, when it comes to, like, rock, it's things like Fall Out Boy, Deftones, but there isn't much that can book something like this.
Right.
Do you think that kind of stadium tour is soon going to be basically relegated to only, like, maybe pop artists, maybe country artists too, or seem to be the only things that are coming through?
I mean, maybe. Like, in the meantime, like, maybe we're in, like, kind of a interesting time because, like, Slipknot took Knock Loose on the road for a while. I don't know if you know Knock Loose. Knock Loose is from Louisville, where I live.
Yep.
And so,
that
band is amazing. Those guys are super cool. And I don't know them personally, but my old band played a show with them when they were still, like, in high school. And their aunts and uncles and moms and dads were, like, half of the crowd. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm so stoked for them. But they're now playing in arenas, you know, maybe not on their own headline tours, but they're bringing that kind of underground heavy music to more people. So I think at least for now, it's getting utilized at some point because some of these bands are getting to show these kids or whoever's listening to music these days something different. You know what I mean? But I don't know, man. And I don't know if some of it was ever designed for that world, you know. And if you ask the 17 to 24 year old me, I would have said hell no. But as I grew and have gotten older, you know, I love being able to see the bands that I like in bigger and bigger places, although I like to stand really close on the side, you know, and not out in the crowd, you know, so where there's too many people. But I don't know. For me, though, whatever success any of those bands can get, I'm happy for them, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Have you wasted? to accept.